Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, entitled Maharaj Nimi Meets the Nine Yogendras. And today we'll be doing text number 36. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana vanushrita swabhavat Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana vanushrita svabhavat Karoti yatat sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana vanushrita svabhavat Karoti yatat sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Please chant. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana manushrita svabhava Karoti yatat sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayeta Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana manushrita svabhava Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayeta Ladies. Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Karoti yad yad sakalam parasmai Narayana yeti samarpayetat Kayena vacha manasendriyerva Bodhyatmana Vanushita Sabhava Karoti Adyat Sakalam Parasme Narayana Yeti Samarpayeta Yena Vacha Manasendriyeva Bodhyatmana Vanushita Sabhava Karoti Adyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayana Yeti Samarpayeta Kayena, with the body. Vacha, speech. Manasa, mind. Indriya, senses. Va, or. Buddhya, with the intelligence. Atmana, purified consciousness. Va, or. Anushrita, followed. Swabhavat, according to one's conditioned nature. Karoti, one does. Yat yat, whatever. Sakalam, all. Parasmai, to the supreme. Narayana, iti. Thinking. This is for Narayan. Samarpayat, he should offer. That. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. In accordance with the particular nature one has acquired in conditioned life, whatever one does with body, words, mind, senses, intelligence, or purified consciousness, one should offer to the Supreme, thinking, this is for the pleasure of Lord Narayan. So this purport consists of about 4 pages, 8 paragraphs, and each paragraph kind of varies on a sliding scale and almost encompasses like 8 classes. So because the subject matter is kind of it's distinct in itself per paragraph. So I'll try to go through a few, not sure if you'll get to the end, but we'll see what happens. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has commented in this regard that a person who engages all the sensory activities of his body, mind, words, intelligence, ego, and consciousness in the service of the Supreme Lord cannot be considered to be on the same level as a karmi, working for his personal sense gratification. Although apparently still a conditioned soul, one who offers the fruits of all his activities to the Lord can no longer be touched by the countless miseries that arise from the reactions to materialistic activities. Because of enmity against the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His omnipotent authority, the conditioned living entity performs activities against the order of the Lord. Yet self-realized souls continue to perform all types of work within this world to carry out the mission of the Supreme Lord. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those karmis who are sufficiently pious follow the example of the self-realized souls by trying to offer the fruits of their own duties to the lotus feet of the Lord. Although this is counted as karma mishra bhakti, or devotional service mixed with a desire to execute fruitive activities, such mixed devotional service is gradually transformed into pure devotional service. As the pious fruitive workers disengage themselves step by step from the bogus philosophy of, quote, enjoyment of one's hard-earned rewards, unquote, Pure devotional service rewards them with complete good fortune. Srila Sridhar Swami has commented, Atmana chiten nahankarena va anusritaya sabhavastasmat. Although one may still be in the bodily concept of life, he should offer the fruit of his work to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those with a primitive materialistic concept of the Supreme Lord consider the Lord present only in a temple or church. They make some offering to the Lord in the place of worship. But in their normal activities, they claim proprietorship, not thinking that God is present everywhere and within everyone. We have practical experience of so many so-called religious men who become very offended if their children try to become servants of the Supreme Lord. They feel, God should be pleased with whatever humble offering I give him. But my family and ordinary business affairs belong to me and are under my control. The perception of anything as separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his proprietorship is called maya or illusion. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted, Na kevalam vidita kritam eviti niyama sabhavanu srisari laukikam api. The regulation that one should serve the Supreme Lord does not refer only to prescribed religious paths, ceremonies, or regulations. Rather, all the activities one performs in this world, according to one's personal nature, should be dedicated to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I'd like to stop there for a minute. Om Jnana Timrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Scha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Shrimati Srila Virbhava Prabhuti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadaya Ne Prabhupada Nupadaya Namah Shri Virbhava Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravarna Pachayani Nivishesha Sanyavadi Pascha Chadeshi Dharma Hare Krishna. So, one thing that stuck out in my mind when reading this verse and purport, and what I would like to discuss if I can today, is this concept of Karma Mishra Bhakti. Of course, the force of the nine Yogendras is speaking here, Maharaj Kavi, and he's describing devotional service to Maharaj Nimi. So, as we understand here, it says Karma Mishra Bhakti pretty much means devotional service mixed with a desire to execute fruitive activities. So, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj described that even though this is so, it mixes, but if one continues, then gradually this mixture, this anartas would disappear, and one would come to the pure stage of devotional service. So this is very encouraging, at least for a person like myself, because after reading this, I kind of get a little hint as to how far behind I am. When I was thinking that I was engaging in devotional service, after reading this, I thought, uh-oh. So, I would like to first go to Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna describes and encouraging us about devotional service and saying something similar here on a sliding scale, just to give us encouragement, and describes the potency of devotional service. So this is chapter 12, entitled Devotional Service in Bhagavad Gita. And I think it starts, I'll read a few verses, not have any time to read the purports, but on a sliding scale of encouragement, here's what it says. Chapter 12, text 8. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always, without a doubt. Then the next verse, 9. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. 10. If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. 11. If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. 12. If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation, and better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So anyway, the subject matter changed at this point. So for me, this is very encouraging that if you can engage in a full step of devotional service, then at least there is something that we can do. And if you can't do that, then we can do something else. So, in other words, the thought here is that, similar to what the Bhagavatam is talking about, so this is all in the category of Karma Mishra Bhakti of, you know, you have an intent, you're having the highest intent here of wanting to do something for the Lord, engaging devotional service, but it's mixed with so many other things. Namely, everything else that can be listed in material world. So, so this gives us a chance for hope. So, with this, I would before I go any further, and to help me today, I would like to ask some opinion of the devotees, and if you can give us a little background of what's your understanding of this Karma Mishra Bhakti of devotional service mix. Can you give us some examples? Mother Sukadev, is there a microphone around, please? Oh, did you say something, Krishna Keshava? Okay. We don't want to disturb the others on the internet, he said, so do without microphone. The microphone isn't working.
I just wanted to say that my understanding that when we fund the devotional service, we're doing it under the authority of our spiritual masters, and that's how it's even though it's mixed, because we're doing it under the guidance of spiritual masters.
So, everyone heard that? Okay, what Maharaj Sukadev is saying is that because we are engaging in devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, then he offers that to Krishna, therefore that service is being accepted. Mother Vigavati?
What I thought of when you were reading those, if you can't do that, do this verses, mm-hmm. I thought of the farm. Srila Prabhupada would say, you know, this movement is meant to be able to engage everyone. And sometimes there was someone they were saying, can't come up to the proper standard. Send them to the farm.
Yeah, actually... Actually, Varshana Swami personally told me that one of the darshan that he gave me one time back in 2008, I actually went up there on some Ratha-yatra matters. So, and he told me, he said that... that when he first became a devotee, because he wasn't like a preacher or book distributor or something, they said, okay, you just go on the farm. So they sent him to New Vrindavan, and that's where he stayed for the rest of his life, taking care of the cows. So he said at least he knew the cow's language. He didn't know human language too much, but he could have relate with the cows and animals. So, so anyway, did we see some hands over here? Oh, yeah. Divyanga Prabhu. Okay, so Divyanga Prabhu is saying that we should try our level best to engage in devotional service. And with sincerity, Krishna would understand. So in other words, he's saying the best that we can do is to do our best. Right? In essence, yeah. Yeah, Mother Vigavati?
I actually didn't mean my statement to be a joke.
No, it's not. It's serious. Yeah, it's actually an art of preaching and is an art of encouragement, especially managers within our society has to at least be this much tactful into able to engage others, you know, in Krishna consciousness. And there's nothing wrong going on the farm. You know, there's nothing wrong while you can't, you know, you're not good at leading kirtan, but you can clean the temple room. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's if we see it in the correct consciousness, then that it's very enlightening. Yes, Mataji?
Because I did live near Dikadagri for so long, farm examples are there for me. So one is, if you're trying to get a path to go into the barn, you can push and push, and it's very difficult. But if you put your hand out, the calf will think it's his mother, he'll suck on you, and you just walk him into the barn and he follows you.
Wow.
So in this way, if we say sweet words to people about this, what they can do in devotional service, instead of telling them, oh, why are you not up to this or that standard? A person who feels appreciated will always do more than expected.
Yeah, okay. Yes, so anyway, these are some of the aspects here. So even though it's our desires or so may be mixed, but because we have a certain direction to point to, then it actually brings about some divine results. There are different things described, like later in this chapter, I think text 51, there's also described like a different aspect. There is a reference there with the discussion between Ramananda Roy and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking, you know, give me more, give me something higher in devotional service. They talk about Dasa, Dasa, and Udas, that become the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. And what did Lord Chaitanya says? He discounted that. He said that's karma mishra bhakti. That's too mixed. So I know, like within our society, we talk so much about that's what we want to be, you know, dasa dasa and udas. But Lord Chaitanya, he discounted that on a higher level, that that one should look to be more than that. So when I first read it, I was kind of startled to try to understand, you know, what that means. So to help with that, I want to tell a little story. It's probably a little gross, probably a little graphic, but it can actually bring out a point. One evening, there was a guru and his disciple. They were going home from their day's activities. So they were going up a hill, and where they live, and they were going on a donkey. So as they were going, it was kind of getting a little chilly. So the guru asked the disciple who was sitting behind him. He said, "Please give me my chadar, my shawl." And the disciple said, "Oh, shawl, that fell long away a while back." He said, "Didn't you pick it up?" He said, "No, I didn't know how to pick it up." So then the guru said, "Okay, from now on, whatever falls down, pick it up." So as they were going again, the donkey starts passing stool. So the disciple was jumping off and picking up the stool. So the guru thought, okay, this disciple is not quite together, you know. So he wrote a list. He said, "If this, this, and this falls down, you pick them up." So he gave him a list of items. So as they were going again, this path was very rocky, you know, it's like holes and so forth. And the donkey gave a good jerk and the guru fell off. So he checked his list and he said he didn't see guru there and he just went on. So the point I'm making is that with all, you know, he's following instructions. He's trying to be the servant of the servant of his guru, who is the servant of Krishna. But there is a big missing gap. You see the point I'm making? So even with Dasa, Dasa, and Udas, there can be some big missing gaps, which a devotee has to be very conscientious. So when we start dealing with these topics of you know, like devotional service, pure devotional service, all the different levels coming down, and try to see where we fit in our lives. If we try to analyze, we would definitely, at least for myself, when I start to looking at this and see where I am, like in Guyana, we used to say, just take a paper sack and put it over your head, you know, in shame. So pretty much, you know, that's how I am feeling reading this verse here. So, because there are so many different steps, but still, there is so much mercy that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, who has been quoted here very much, is explaining and describing. And then Krishna is describing in Bhagavad Gita, okay, if you can be to this level, then you go to this level. And so, in other words, basically, what this purport and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj is telling us is that none of us have any excuse for not engaging in devotion service, or none of us have any excuse for not engaging others in devotional service. Because every little thing, every little aspect of devotional service comes. Everything that one does, we can allow that, you know, as a big push in Krishna consciousness. Even if one says the holy name, even if it's not in the proper consciousness, or even if it's against Krishna consciousness, then it still counts. That's the way Srila Prabhupada used to see it. Even when one time when they had this, some group in the early days, they put up this huge billboard, and they were saying something negative about the Hare Krishna movement. So they reported it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada said, was the name Krishna there on the billboard? I said, yes. And the Prabhupada said, that's very good. You know, at least they say the name Krishna, and, you know, that's their publicizing. So if we see things in this spirit, both our own lives and that of anyone that surrounds us can be benefited. It might be in some small ways, depends on our boldness of preaching. I know, like Divyanga Prabhu, he would boldly go out and distribute books, you know, year after year, all life long. For one, for myself, unless somebody comes and approach me, or, you know, then I don't really get that urge to do. So I thought I'll trick myself, so sometimes I make sure I have something devotional that shows on my body. If it's not tilak at work, at least I have, you know, a little seeker, or I have like a neck bead. And then some people would question, what is that little thing back there, or what is this chain here? And like that, I'm forced to say something. So in that way, you know, we can be protected. And then this goes on to say, so I'm going to read a little bit more here, another paragraph of how we can further be encouraged. This one says, the words karoti yad yat sakalam parasmai naranayeti samarpayetat in this verse are very significant. A similar verse is found in Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Yat karosi yad asnasi yaj jahosi dadasi yat yat tapasasi kaunteya tat karuso madarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, and all the austerities that you perform should be done as an offering unto me. The objection may be raised, since our ordinary activities are performed in a material body and material mind, not by the spirit soul, how can such activities be offered to the Supreme Lord, who is completely transcendental to the material world? How can such activities be considered spiritual? In answer to this, it is stated in the Vishnu Puran, Varnashramachara Vata Purushena Parapunam Vishnur Aradjate Panta Natyatatosha Karanam. One who wants to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu must accept the system of Varnashram Dharma and worship the Lord through the execution of his prescribed duties. In Bhagavad Gita 4:13, the Supreme Lord has personally taken credit for establishing this system of Varnashram Dharma. Chaturvarna Maya Shishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. So here, this is something that can be very, at least puzzled when I read it. Now this is a quote from the Vishnu Puran of engaging, you know, in this system of Varnashram. And also Srila Prabhupada encouraged this too. He talked about that. I think towards the end he said that that's one part of his mission that wasn't accomplished. Is that correct? The Varnashram? Did he say that? Yeah. Okay. So, but still, when we're looking at this purport from this angle or from this level of discussion, we can see how far away the Varnashram system is from pure Krishna consciousness. So, I'm not sure if I'm going to confuse myself or confuse anybody here, but I think that the point I'm trying to get at is that whilst this is not the topmost, but it's a big stepping stone to get there, to engage on some sliding scale, or to have this kind of a cooperation or association to able to elevate society at large. So I want to ask if any devotees would like to shine some light on this as to how we can explain the incorporation of Varnashram Dharma in pure Krishna consciousness. Does anybody would like to give us some suggestions? Pran Govinda Prabhu?
Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that conditioned soul are born with contamination of three modes of material nature. And if those three modes of material nature contamination can be accommodated, then his mind will be peaceful, then he can practice Krishna consciousness. Our goal is not varnashram, like Mahaprabhu says, Chari varnashram yodi Krishna nahi bhaje, is in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That four varnashram dharma, if they don't practice Krishna consciousness, they will go to hell. So that's another negative side. But side is that I'm born with a condition, three modes of material nature. So I have a natural inclination to do sense enjoyment. Through varnashram dharma, I am being restricted and disciplined with my contaminated nature. When that is accommodated, then I become some sort of sober, gentle, then I can practice Krishna consciousness easily. So to practice consciousness, varnashram should be, compulsory should be there to accommodate.
So are you saying that that should be compulsory for everyone or compulsory for...
Except those who are already very attached to Krishna consciousness, they are already divine. They fall into the varnashram. Daiva varnashram and varnashram are not same.
Yeah, that's towards the end of this purport. It goes on to talk about Daivi varnashram. So, yeah, that's a different thing. So, anyway, Sri Krishna Prabhu.
We know that the system is below Krishna consciousness, but at least it's a springboard to full Krishna consciousness. So our society, let us say we have 10 men interested in agriculture, they put them to work together. Another 10, they're interested in preaching and stuff, put them together. Another wanting to do business, you pair them up really. So like that really you have like a structured society. But when one advances, whatever is necessary to be done in Krishna consciousness, he will do it. In other words, if he's a military man, but there's something need to be done in the farm, he might do it, or in the kitchen, or whatever. You see, in other words, one would do anything to satisfy Krishna, to please Krishna. See? So that's where we are above the system. But yet the system is important for structure, you know, for organizing and engaging.
Yeah, so before we go to Stitidi Muni, Prabhu's comment, I just want to read one paragraph of this purport, which we didn't read as yet. If you go to the second to last paragraph, it's a small one that, you know, gives some encouragement and talks of a similar thing here on the varnashram system. It should be understood that as long as one identifies oneself in terms of the varnashram dharma system rather than a part and parcel of Krishna, one is still on the platform of ahankar or false ego. Because the varnashram system is designed according to the modes of material nature, of nature acquired by the living entity through his material body. But the acharyas have emphasized in their commentaries on this verse that such a false ego, by which one identifies oneself as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, sudra, sannyasi, grihastha, and so on, should also be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, this is like one import of this verse that this Yat Karosi Yat Asnasi verse we just talked about, just read, of making an offering of everything. Until now, I'm still of that concept that, okay, so make an offering is like, you know, whatever physical things you have, what you do, what you give in charity. But going into more in this purport here, it understands that even your status, to offer your status as an offering unto the Lord. So whether one is a sannyasi or a grihastha, if not, we can easily get contaminated by that. Well, I am a very strong brahmachari. You know, I am brahmachari. I am sannyasi. I am vanaprastha, or you know, stuff like that. Or I am Brahmin. I am Kshatriya. We can it can easily affect us in that way. So, anyway, Sthitidhi Muni Prabhu.
Oh, I just had this as you're all discussing. A thought came to me is, you know, in our literatures, the Mahabharata, Ramayana. Well, Mahabharata's closer in time as far as that goes. There's no real examples of anybody establishing Varnashram Dharma, like the Kshatriyas, you know, acting like Spanish conquistadors or something, you know, in the Western context, going up into Germany and preaching and converting to Christianity like that. I mean, I imagine there's something going on there, but you don't really have those cultural examples. And nor do we, even though we do know that the Kshatriyas would maintain the Varnashram system, there's no real stories of that, you know, other than maybe Parikshit challenging the sutra beating the cow, and that was. I'm not saying it's not important, but you know, what do we have to work with as far as examples? And then I'm a yakker, and then you know, it seems like it's like a cultural thing, it's a social thing, it's like natural, organic sort of. You know, it's more, it's not like something imposed, it's something that grows with, you know, and manifests within a, I don't know, it's just a thought that came into.
You know, I thought about that also, that if you look into the Vedic scriptures, there are so many examples where these, like these Varnashram system, what you're talking about, are being maintained from leaders to leaders under the guidance of the Brahmanas. Throughout the Vedic scriptures, you know, there are so many examples that are there. You know, as you're saying that there are not so many examples, but you know, they are. Every leader, their foremost duty was to maintain the system, make sure everyone is taken care of in their varna and their ashram. Throughout the scriptures, from day one, even from all the Puranas, even from like the, you know, the Vishnu Puran, the Garuda Puran, coming down the Ramayana, Bhagavatam. All there are so many scriptures are there, and everyone is leaders. That was like their foremost. You know, pretty much it's like that was there. But because the society was already tuned in that way and brought up with that consciousness, it's like there wasn't so much need to like, you know, put it up on a billboard per se. You know, like now sometimes we have to tell, you know, tell others, like what it's, you know, sometimes stated, oh, now it's class time, you have to be quiet. Or now it's time for, sometimes at home you have to say, you know, when the kids are little, now it's time for prasadam, so no more play, come and do this. But if they're already doing that, then there's no sign, no need for a notice or instruction. So apparently, like in the Vedic times, a lot of these are already happening, and it is just a system of maintenance. And of course, as Kali progresses, then the consciousness changes and the intent of these systems also changes. And as we get more and more degraded, as Kali Yuga goes on, the ability to maintain these regulated structures becomes more and more a problem, and now it's becoming a thing of the past. So therefore, emphasis has to be placed, notices has to be placed there and put up. We have to stress these points of maintaining these as different standards in our sliding scale per se of devotional service. So, not sure if that answers.
Oh no, it's part of the discussion. I mean, that's definitely relevant. Relevant. I mean, they're maintaining which actually is a more sophisticated thing than establishing. Is maintain, you know, maintaining is you keeping it. You have to have a lot of depth. It's motor goodness. You know, maintain maintenance. But we don't really. I'm not saying they weren't doing that or they weren't concerned about it. It was happening, but we just don't have pastimes describing that interaction so prominently displayed in the literature. I'm not saying it's not there and we can't tease it out. And nor do we have examples like, oh, they're going and attacking the Yavana kingdom and now they just sacked it. And now they're going to establish, you know, Vedic culture at the expense of Yavana culture or whatever, Greek culture. I don't know, Americans, if they could find them back then, they probably would have done it, right? But you know, we just don't have that to as a model. So in one sense, we're it's a frontier. It's a frontier. Many aspects.
Yeah, in the Mahabharata, then Maharaj Yudhishthira sent out his four brothers in all the four different directions to conquer and establish, not only to conquer, to show that he was qualified to be the monarch, but the emperor, but also to make sure that everyone was following their system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah, because... Yeah, so, you know, those... Sometimes, from what I find in the Vedic culture, is that a lot of things are done upon necessity. You know, so I remember one time when I was a brahmachari, my Guru Maharaj told me, he said, you know, it's so easy, you know, working with me in the sense that he doesn't have to push me to do any service because I'm already doing it. And, you know, he was comparing to some others who you have to, always have to encourage, always have to push along, always have to chastise. Of course, he's chastised me more than anybody else, but that's a different story. But, you know, but the idea is that, okay, because I'm doing, then he doesn't have to put that energy, he doesn't have to stress that, and use that energy somewhere else. So similarly, like in the Vedic culture, you know, all these, if it's already going on, then it's kind of make it a little easy to use your energy somewhere else. So, Mother Mahatma, I think, had her hands up. The microphone is coming. Anyway, at least you have the microphone.
So, just one comment about the Krishna consciousness needed to have the Varnasha system. We have an example with the woofers.
With the what?
The woofers that are coming to our farms now. The woofers is a group of people that like to go around helping farmers to, you know, to seed the land or to just do gardens or whatever. So some woofers have come to Krishna consciousness now. And we are seeing the miracle that now those woofers are becoming Krishna consciousness. So they were already in the mode of goodness.
The woofers, they were already in the mode of goodness, but just coming in contact with the devotee association, with the philosophy, with the way we worship, now it makes more sense to them. And now they are friends of Krishna, hopefully they will become devotees.
Yeah,
so that's one example that I think is came to mind. And the other thing about society not being, you know, regular society not being favorable or something towards Varnashram, I was thinking how here in Alachua, for example, in the Alachua County, it's stated on your deed, you should know this, that you're allowed, for 5 acres, you're allowed 2 animals of each. You're allowed 2 goats, 2 cows, 2 pigs, 2 hens, 2 chickens. So it is there. It's just we're not taking advantage of it. But a lot of people don't even know, and a lot of people know, but they don't care how many 5 acres we see. They are empty. They are perfectly groomed, but there are no animals. There is nothing there that, you know, that could help the society to become a little bit more self-sufficient.
Thank you very much for that information. The way I'm thinking is that's only one aspect of the Varnashram system. You also have the other aspect of, okay, the good leaders, the good kshatriyas, you know, or what's the intent of rearing those animals? Is it for a good culture or for the slaughterhouses? You know, so that's like the other aspect of it. So whilst at least we're looking at things on the good side to see, well, this is a stepping stone, and we can go on from there. So, yes, we do appreciate that point. Mother Vigavati.
Hare Krishna. I think I was thinking what you just mentioned, that if we understand Varnashram what the different categories of engagement, and they can all be used in Krishna's service, then when we meet somebody and they tell us what they do, we can find a way to encourage them. Oh yes, there are, you know, so many doctor devotees, or Ayurveda is part of the history. Or, oh, did you know there's an architectural part? Something to make them attracted, to present Krishna or Krishna consciousness to them in a way that relates to where they're at.
Yes, so that's part of our preaching activities also. There are many, that's how the whole Hungarian farm came about, under that, you know, that same context of, or the same theme of inviting others to come and join or engaging everyone. So on different levels, we have that obligation to engage others, even if it might be like a hidden friend or so, to give them some opportunity to engage in some service that would ultimately bring one to Krishna consciousness. So thank you very much, and I guess we can stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.